I thought about doing this only yesterday, and then I found out through text messaging that so-and-so's not speaking, so-and-so got nothing, so-and-so's got nothing. So it looks, I present something to you that I thought about yesterday. I want to tell you about building my garage. I have a new garage, and I want to tell you all about it. And I was thinking about this, and I want to tell you the verses that this is based on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And later in Ephesians 4, this is really the central part of it, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word which was given to us millennia ago. And yet it is as fresh today as it was when the apostles wrote these words. We thank you, Lord, for everything you have provided and will provide for us. And we ask you to open our eyes and ears this morning that we may see your kingdom and see your hand at work at every aspect of our lives. We need to depend and trust in you for everything. And that's a lesson we need to learn, Lord. We confess we don't always trust you for everything. But help us this morning to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we moved into our house in April of 1987. And we had this garage. It came with a garage, but it was built probably in the 30s or 40s, or a long time ago. And the doors were long gone. The hinges were there, but the doors were long gone. And every time it rained, from the tire treads that were indented into the floor, the asphalt floor, water would just come right into there, and I'd have to use planks to, if I wanted to go in and do anything, I have to get planks and plank my way. Every time since 1987 it rained, I'd got water filled in the garage. So recently I'd come to the place in my life where willing to spend the money, I need a new garage to help the property value and all that sort of thing. So the old had to go. Now, whenever I talk about old garage, new garage, I'll give it to you right now. I'm talking about the old life and the new life in Christ. Got it? The old life, the old self, the old each one of us, and the new. So that's where we're going. The old had to go. Romans 6, chapter 1 through 7. How many times have we heard these verses with Charles here? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know, and this is where the old comes in, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And therefore we have been buried in with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Are you walking in newness of life? For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So before the new could come, before the new garage could be built, the old garage had to be dealt with. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So my old shanty garage had to be done away with. I could not build a new one unless I got rid of the old one. We cannot have a new life unless the old life is gone. I thought about it. I mean, I did not think about this. I wanted it gone. But gee, wouldn't it be interesting to have them? I went to website of a local builder, and the guide, I wanted a new garage, so I went to the guide, and there was an ad. So I looked up their website, and they had like 30 or 40 different garages, and it took me about 2 minutes. I found the one I wanted, and I told the salesman, I want that. I want it in that color. That's just what I need. I did not tell him, it was not even in my mind, could you also build that over the old garage so I can have both? It's big enough. It would fit inside. That's the old life. Will not fit into the new life. You got two completely different lives. So, but some things had to be set aside. So I'm not keeping the old garage. It's gone. Everything is gone. But there are some things had to be set aside. And Matthew 13:52, he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things old and new. So I kind of feel justified. I can keep some of the stuff that's in this old garage. I don't want to throw the tools away. Everything's got to go. So I keep tools, car parts, and maybe some decorations. So the key verse, though, that I want to use here is he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. So getting rid of the old garage was relatively easy. The Wilhelm boys came with their heavy equipment and they knocked it down, threw it into a dumpster, and it's gone. And then they dumped dump loads of dirt, dump trucks loaded with dirt, and built that area up. And that was all good. So it was the old garage was completely gone. Your old life should be completely gone. It's gone. It is gone. You've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Now, you kept some tools. You kept some stuff. You did keep some stuff from the old life. It's okay. But now we come to the place where we can build the new. And in Ephesians 4:1, the first mention, and he gave some as apostles. And so I thought of this process of building, and there were three guys from this company in Pennsylvania. They were Pennsylvania Dutch. They came down, three guys, and they had one piece of equipment with different attachments on it that could do things. They were the builders. and they dug holes and put posts at certain intervals. And I have pictures of them. Some posts go this way, some that way, and they're all wet. But when they were in the process, they lined up every post. And the distance apart, within a half an inch, 8 feet apart within a half an inch, if that, accurate. I don't know how they did it. Have no idea how they did it. But they put all these posts in. Then they put the roof on and the tin, the framework structure. They were the apostles. You identify them as the apostles. Building the structure of my garage, which I would say is the structure of the church. The apostles built the church. And they put up these poles. They put up completely accurate. I don't know how they did it. We don't know how, but the apostles built the church. And they built the framework. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul wrote, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder." These guys were master builders. "I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it." So they were the authority. They built the structure, the walls, and in the planting, and they did the roof. This was an amazing, and they did it in 2 days. Three guys, 2 days, and they never had a meeting. They said, "Well, you got to do this and do that. What do we do about that?" They didn't do any of that. They knew, each one knew exactly what he was supposed to do, and they did the whole thing in 2 days. Roof enclosed. So to me, they were the picture of the apostles. That makes sense? They were the builders. Next come the prophets. Who are the prophets? Well, once this structure is built, it needs a floor. Dirt floors don't work. I don't want a dirt. So some other company came in and with cement trucks, took a couple of them, they poured a beautiful cement floor. They're the prophets. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." These are the spiritual gifts. "And to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation." There's spiritual gifts, and these guys pictured that. It wasn't a spiritual gift, understand. We're talking two realms here. They were really gifted in being able to put down this cement floor, and the floor was laid down, and they had this device at the end. They raked it, and they did whatever, and they had this other machine that ran it all over, so make it absolutely flat. So the prophets bring this solid floor, and for us, in the spiritual realm, the prophets laid down a spiritual floor of truth. That was their job, truth. They were limited in the framework that they were given by the apostles. The floor doesn't go anywhere other than inside the building. It fits perfectly inside the building. And the strength of this floor is for the people who use it. It's a strong floor. It's dried perfectly flat. It's not mud, and it's not sifting sand. It's a good foundation to walk on, to drive on, to work on. It's the foundation. Now, who are the prophets? We know the apostles. We know them by name. Who are the prophets? I will tell you. You may disagree with this, but who are the prophets? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They laid down a solid foundation. The four Gospels, who else? Any of the writers of the New Testament. The New Testament is our solid foundation. We have writings from people of all over history. And they're wonderful writings, and they make good points, but there's nothing like the New Testament. It is the foundation we stand on. So we've had the apostles who built the building, the prophets who gave us a solid foundation. We need now the evangelist to come in. Now, the next person, once we... Once we have this structure, we need power and lights in it, and that would be an electrician. I need an electrician. He's going to come. He's going to bring power into the building and lights, and the evangelist will bring light into the darkness. I needed the electrician for that. And the evangelist will bring the word to people who never had the word. So we have an evangelist that is in that Ephesians 4 passage, the apostles, prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. So the evangelist is like the electrician who came in and wired everything up and gave me some lights. He gave me a little bit of light. He didn't finish his job yet. It wasn't fully done. But he gave us some power. Then there is, in Ephesians 4, there is, after the evangelist, there are some pastors. Who are they? Well, I've got a building. I got a floor. Got a little bit of power. And some light, but I need a door. I need a big door, big door. And so two guys came. These would be the, I would identify as maybe them, the pastors. And they're coming, and they're going to put a door in. Now we think of John 10, that Christ is the door. But in the context of building this church or my garage, we need a door. And these two guys came and they took these panels off their trailer one at a time and they put the first one down and put the next one and the one above that and they tied them all together. They knew exactly what each one was doing and going to no consultation, no meetings, no questioning. What do we do about this, that, or the other thing? They put this door in. Now, the door that the pastors serve is, and this door in my garage allows two functions. First is the preaching of truth. That is, it allows things in. When the door is open, things can come in. Preaching, truth, the work of a pastor and the pastor's heart. But when the door closes, the other part of the door is it prevents things from coming in you don't want, like cats. I had a big problem with cats in the old garage with no door on it. They would not leave me alone. And they would try to find any place they could to do their business or have little baby kittens or whatever. So the door serves that dual purpose. First, of letting things in. We need instruction, teaching, but also keeping things out and guidance and direction. A pastor serves a very useful purpose, keeping bad stuff out, but giving guidance and direction. And that's an important thing. And the next thing is you have evangelists, you have pastors, and now you have teachers. And the teachers, to me, are like the part of the garage building that was the interior finish. And I had Brent who would do that for me. He came in and he put in extra studs along all the way so that he could put insulation and keep the thing warm. This is the function of a teacher. He was bringing the cold, keeping the cold out. He was regulating the life of the interior of the garage. And like a teacher is to do this, not just to inform, but also to help us live properly in this world, in the church, to understand the church, to regulate the inside. Then he put OSB paneling so I could hang useful things in there, posters or what cabinets. I could store things. That's learning. A teacher allows us to learn, so I have cabinets hanging over in my garage so I can put things in, and that's like learning, like our mind gaining information, things that we need to know. We can't live and function in the church if we don't know what we're doing. And so a teacher comes along and helps us by giving us things we need to know. So teachers are good. The Lord supplies teachers. And there are also special lights. We got big lights in the ceiling that the electrician put in, but I got little lights here, there, and everything because a bench needs a light. And that gives light is the same thing for us in the church of understanding. Now, we're dealing with all these old things in our still left, but gaining understanding. Do you know more now than you did 10 years ago? I hope so. Really hope so. Are you the same person you were 10 years? You might be the same person you were 10 years ago, that everybody knows your name, but are you the same? Has the work of building in you, in the Lord, has the Lord done anything that you can look now at yourself now and look at where the old garage was, and there may be some things you brought in, and I'm still dealing with that. What do I want in the new garage? Do I want some of that? Do I really need that? Or should that go to the barn? And yeah, I'm working that out. And you're working it out too. Come on now. We need to be different people than we were when we were the old garage. And I got furniture. I'm going to bring furniture needs to be brought in. I need furniture. I need function and order. In your life, you need function. You need things that, you need chairs, and you need order. They need to be in a row. I don't know, there was a trendy movement of churches in some areas where they have, they'll meet in a warehouse or something like that, but they'll have sofas all over. And no rows of chairs. They are against rows of chairs or any kind of order, apparently. And these people just come and sit on the sofas or the lazy boys or whatever. I'm not sure that's quite the picture the church should be. There does need to be order in the church. And so it's not that we don't have pews here. Thankfully, we have chairs that we can move all around if we want, but there is order for us. And there's order in the garage, too. The things need to be functional and in order, and they need to be maybe a bench. I've got benches. I've got tables and chairs. I've got, why not use it? I got a coffee maker. I've got a small refrigerator and a microwave oven. Why not? They're pleasant things. I want to put pleasant things in my garage. I'm not living there, but I want pleasant things. I want pleasant things in the church. God has put pleasant things in the church. The church should not be filled with rules and law. The kingdom of God is not rules and law. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, anybody else? And love. That's the kingdom. That should be my garage. So I've got pleasant things in there, and I've got the interior, I've got tools, useful things for work. The church needs tools, not programs. Some people use programs as tools, it's okay, but is it a tool for accomplishing something? God has given us the best tools, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Those are the tools the church, that God has given to the church. But we need useful things for work. So how do you change a tire without tools? How do you do something? I don't know. So in finishing this up, I just am very happy. I've got a new garage after all these years of all of the old life is gone. The new life is here. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I do thank the Lord for this. I don't think that I'm not, in the back of my mind is that parable of the man who built himself bigger barn. No. This is not a bigger barn that I'm going to sit back and say, now I've got what. No. That is in the back of my mind. But everything can be seen in this in life. Everything has an object lesson in the spiritual. That's my point. That building this new garage, this is the new garage, this is the new life. The old garage was the old life, and my feet will never get wet when it rains hard. Not anymore. I am this high above the average ground level. So, is it done? I mean, yeah. Is the garage, I don't know if the garage is done, but no, it's not done. I won't go into any more about that. I just want to know that there is the natural and there is the spiritual. That's my point. The old life is gone. And the Wilhelm boys carried that away. They've got to come and do a little bit of landscaping, but that's the decoration of the new life. You've got workers who will help decorate around your new life in the church. The church has that, provides that. Nobody else needs. You got to get it from the church has so much capability. We don't need anything outside of the church for spiritual life. Right? Keep that in the spiritual at all times. I mean, we need people outside. Whether they're saved or not, we might need somebody who does something for us, fix our car or build a garage or whatever. But in the spiritual, we have God has provided us with everything we need. Hallelujah. So, yes, I have a new garage. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that. I will not underestimate its value, but I wanted to see things in the spiritual. I wanted to see. I think anything that happens in your life, you can flip over from the physical and look and see in the spiritual. What does it mean? What has God done? What is He allowing? How should you react to that? All questions that you should ask. If you have something in the natural, an event, a situation, an illness, as we talked about, as we heard earlier today, that, flip it over, what does it mean, Lord? What? How do I see this in the spiritual realm? That's all what this is about, building a garage. So our Heavenly Father, we thank you for life's lessons that you teach us. You're a gracious God. We don't earn your grace. Your grace is free, and it's given freely. And we thank you. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your provisions. We thank you for your guidance, your direction. And we have to thank you for your discipline, which touches every one of us. Because we are your children, you will discipline us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.